You're listening to The Rhythm of Rebellion with Taina Asili. Singer-songwriter Maria Jose Montijo is a self-described weird, cosmic, and queer islander from Puerto Rico, who is now based in the Bay Area of California. Her music draws inspiration from over 20 years of experience as a healer and is rooted in a continuous process of discovery and care, where trauma is transformed into art. I immediately became a fan of Maria's work after watching the music video for her song Huracan, an anthemic modern dance song of liberation for Puerto Rico that merges with the ancestral rhythms of bomba, an Afro-Puerto Rican musical tradition. Maria's music has continued to stir my heart, lift my spirit, and move my body ever since. Maria, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to The Rhythm of Rebellion. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
I wanted to share with you that I am such a fan that when we rang in the new year, I played your song. I played Huracan as like the anthem, and we had like a little small party, and everyone got down and they're like, what is this? Who is this? We love this. So we're going to get in there. I want to talk about that and some of your other music today. But first, I just want to thank you for your creative work that I think is just so inspirational and revealing and important. I wanted to start by talking a little bit about your earlier journey. You have a story on your website that I think is really interesting, and it's sort of this serendipitous journey to writing music. And you start by talking about classical voice training and then how certain things came into place that landed you in playing the harp and then songwriting.
Yeah, sure. So I started, my journey with music started at 5 years old when my mom enrolled me in the Coro de Niños de San Juan, the San Juan Children's Choir, which is a professional children's choir. And I got like all the ear training, all the like learning how to read music, learning some instruments. Like you could learn guitar, but I chose to learn recorder because the guitar hurt my hands. I was like, eh. And, you know, there was even like a bell choir where we played the bells and we played songs. It was very beautiful. And it was kind of like being part of this bigger instrument and being like a part of this bigger instrument, which gave me a lot of early on, like spiritual ecstatic experiences in performances, in rehearsals. Just like since I was a kid, I would get lost and blissed out in sound. Mm. So that's like a very fundamental part of who I am. Then I tried to do the classical music thing. I was in the conservatory for 2 years, but it was a pretty toxic environment, especially the vocal department. And I wasn't really convinced I wanted to be like an opera singer or anything like that. And I ended up dropping out. And I took a break from music. Like I stopped singing for 4 years and years. And I then I started my journey as a healer, learning different ways to heal the body through Tai Chi, Qigong. And I went to massage school. And then the years passed and I just was like a total like spiritual seeker. Like that was my thing. I was like, okay, let me transform. And I was on a beach in Puerto Rico in the capital in San Juan called El Escambrón. And this beach is one that my mom took me when I was like a month old, you know, like it's like a very, very familiar place. And I ran into a fellow student of the conservatory who is a violinist and a surfer. And at that time she was the lifeguard of the beach. So I went up to the lifeguard tower and we were talking And she asked me like what I was doing with music, and I was literally like, I'm just like singing in the shower and making up little songs. And she was like, really? I'm gonna bring you something tomorrow. And I was like, oh shit, okay. And then she was like, come at the same time. And then the next day I came and we went to her car and she opened up the trunk and she had like this little folk harp. And she was like, this is for you. Now you don't have an excuse. You make your own songs. Now you have something to accompany yourself with. She was like, you put your thumbs up, you put your fingers like this. The red strings are this note, the blue strings are this note, and da-da-da-da-da, basic harp, and off I went. And that month, I, like, wrote some of my best songs. Wow. Just, like, with two finger picking. So it was very, like, deconstructive music exploration. Like, I wanted it to be all coming from a place of intuition and connection. So it felt very like downloading songs. And because I was in this like spiritual seeking, you know, Buddhist retreats, living in Zen centers, meditation, like I was super like tapped in. I'd been like meditating like super, super, super full on for a minute. So it all started as healing songs and as contemplative songs accompanied by the harp. And that's the story of how I got the harp. And then the funny story on top of that is that my lifeguard friend, Constanza, she got the harp on eBay from a Puerto Rican musician from Angelica Negron, who's like an amazing friend and composer. So it's just like all the dots of connection. Yeah, and it's the best gift ever. It's the best gift that I've ever received, and it felt completely right and completely like in synchrony. Like the universe is like, hey, come on, get it together. Yes. This is what you're meant to do. Now do it.
Yes, it's so beautiful when we're like ready to receive and the universe places it in our hands. Sometimes things have to be dropped on our heads. But it's nicer when it's dropped into our hands.
It was a real graceful moment. It was like, this is just like, I was in awe. And you know, that was like, the harp's been like my best friend ever since.
I was also reading on your website a description that you wrote about music as helping you to remember your essence. And I wanted to understand more what that means. What does it mean for music to help you to remember your essence? What is your essence, and how does music help you to access it?
Right. So for me, composing songs started as a very therapeutic process. And like I mentioned, I was in this spiritual journey that really, like a river, flowed into, you know, this like waterway of like, this is your trauma. Stop escaping it. Let's heal it. Let's dive in. So it's kind of like, I feel like wanting to transcend really led me into very deep places inside of myself where I could be like my higher self, I could be like my bigger self, but I could also like learn how to hold space for all the fragmented parts, all the broken parts, all the trauma, all the like different players inside of this beingness, right? And the essence is the one that's okay with everything being there, right? And I feel like I've worked to learn how to abide there in a way. And the musical process takes me there too. Like, I feel like, especially in my earlier songwriting, I just wanted that to be the fulcrum, like the point of focus on where the expression came out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm like a very shy, very introverted, very like self-conscious, insecure person. And you know, it was easy to perform in a choir. Like, if we're 50, you know, it's cool. But like one, it's like, it's a lot. So the way that I overcame that fear and that fright and that literally like shaking and but needing to sing, like being it a kind of like a life or death kind of thing, impulse, is like really abiding in essence, like knowing that it's not about me, is something that wants to come through me. And it's also, I think, having to do with the fact that I did practice a lot of meditation. I did practice a lot of Tai Chi and Qigong, where for me, being connected to the energy of the universe, to the energy of the earth, is something that is important and is super nourishing, and it gives me a lot of stability. So I think in my own journey, like, I learned that abiding in essence, it's like the way to decolonize, right? And unfurl and like work around all the conditioning that impedes my inner light to shine, right?
So you talk about the influence of the healing arts that you practice in your music. And I'm also hearing your music as being a process of healing within itself for yourself.
Yes.
Do you also see music, your music, as a contribution towards healing for others? And if so, how?
I see it like that because that's the feedback I've gotten through the years of like people, how they listen, when they listen, and when they share. Because I've worked on this craft as a therapeutic tool, I think it touches people that way too. So especially songs like Cura from my first EP, I have a lot of feedback of people using it like in medicinal ways, like for ceremonies or for like singing it to their children or to their bellies when they're pregnant. And, you know, like I've met a lot of babies that are like, yeah, we sing your music, you know, and it's kind of, it's like very, very touching, you know, because it is beautiful for people to resonate with the song so much. Because I feel like, you know, they're all, for me, aspirations. It's not like I embody them, but they're like telling me, like, this is how I want to live. In that way, they're like transforming me. But like transforming me as we speak, like something I wrote, you know, I had the harp, like I was gifted the harp in 2009. So it's kind of like even the songs that I wrote, how many years ago, they're working me, and I feel like they work on other people too.
I 100% agree, and that actually connects to the next question that I was going to ask you so beautifully, specifically about Lejos de Ti, when we were talking about this idea of people finding a sense of connection to that song, a sense of healing, you know, hearing that song during the pandemic and watching the video and feeling a sense of loneliness, yet not being alone. There's a longing, a sense of longing, not only in your voice and in the lyrics, but also in the cello and the percussion. For me, songs that, or anything I create, is often hiding or revealing teachings that are to be uncovered. And not even as, you know, some as I create it, some as I perform it, some as I witness it again and again, you know, different things get revealed. Did the experience of creating that song and music video, did that reveal anything new for you?
Well, yeah, I'm a very kinesthetic person. Like I feel things a lot like that, like my most, I hear things too. Like that's how the songs come in. Like I hear and I feel things, like that's like my most, developed senses. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the, Huracán video and collaborating with Claudia Escobar, who's the director and did everything amazingly and beautifully, she opened something in me of how to connect the sound with visuals. And I think that was profoundly enlivening and also like kind of like creating like new narrow pathways and curiosities. And for me, Le José T was this experiment of you know, making a music video with my phone, and how would it be to make everything and just learn, you know, like literally like learn as I was doing and going with the flow, with the not knowing, but also like, what was the appetite? Like, what do I want to lean into? What kind of colors? Like, what kind of setup? Like, what kind of light? And I think it really opened up this, like, creating a visual narrative that I'm really interested by now as a way to support the music. I think also, Le José T, like I really believe in a culture of care. And for me, like this like fundamental way in which we can recognize and respect and be in our dignity is through caring, you know, caring for one another in whatever way that is expressed authentically. And in that moment in the pandemic, it was really like to make the choices of like collective care, of like what is the best for all of us to be able to survive this together, but also remember the love that we have for each other, even though we can't, you know, it was like in the moments where we weren't even like hugging, you know, it was like hard. It was like super, was super apocalyptic, really.
Yeah.
So,
really and truly.
So, kind of remembering that even though, and this is my experience as an immigrant, that even though I'm removed from a place and from a people, I'm completely, how do you call this? Like a web? Like, just
integrated,
yeah, woven into it, and it's in me, and it's kind of like extending the circle of care energetically too. That's why the holographic hug, like I can give you a holographic hug, you can give me a holographic hug.
You mentioned Huracán and the beautiful music video that was created with that, just blew me away. In recent years I have reconnected with bomba, which was something that my mother practiced when I was a child. And during the pandemic, studying bomba became like really important for me. And I love the way that you weave bomba into Huracán. And I was wondering what your relationship and history with bomba is, and why you chose to weave those rhythms into the song.
So interestingly enough, I fell in love with bomba in Oakland, California. And I fell in love with bomba when I went to, I actually was part of this performance and Bomberas de la Bahia was playing a set, but it was the first time I saw Julia Cepeda dancing. And Julia Cepeda comes from the Cepeda family, and she's like a seventh generation lineage holder of bomba. So when I saw her in her movements, there was this complete transmission of spirit and of that being like really rooted in the ancestors. So it was like the ancestors were speaking through her movements. And I just was so drawn to her that I started taking classes. I started taking classes with Taller Bombalele in 2014. And through that connection, and it was like a community class, like we would like learn how to dance and we would learn how to drum. But then at some point, there started to be performances too. So we started performing. And then because I'm a songwriter, then I started writing bomba songs. And then these songs came out from the bomba community, with the bomba community. So for example, Huracan, I wrote the lyrics and I went to a bomba rehearsal, and Denise Solis, who's the drummer, mm-hmm. and, you know, leader, fearless leader and union, yes. organizer and all the things. She and Ilya Correa helped me figure out the rhythm. Ilya is also an amazing folklorist and songwriter here in the Bay Area. And yeah. So it came out from this relationship with bomba, because not only I was learning, we were performing, and we would have regular bombazos where it was like this sacred space of community healing. And after mm-hmm. the hurricane, we were all very distraught. We were right. very distraught, and we were looking for ways to manage our grief and manage our rage. And Huracan comes from that collective need of it, and it's a collective song, and it's a song for the collective. And it was really right. born in El Bate. So
it was born in the Bate, but it lives on the dance floor in a whole different context, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm curious as to your intentions around bringing in that electronic bumpin' beat to it, you know, that transforms it.
I feel like I've been like a solo performer, and I've had bands, and I wanted to move towards Latin American electronic music, because that's what I really like listening to, and I really admire a lot of people that mix traditional music with electronic music. And during the pandemic, I had the opportunity to reach out to different electronic music producers that I loved, and a couple of them got back to me, which amazing, through the help of a friend called Ali Silver. So she connected me with different producers, and then the result of Huracan is from the synergy of this track that we recorded in the Zulab studio, of like just straight up bomba and his like production work. So it's kind of like I really thrive in collaboration and like the synergy of other musicians that are really skilled in what they do. So yeah, this guy Luis Maurete, I was a huge fan of his band called Lula Cruza. I like saw them performing live like eons ago, and like fell in love with them, and they're like kind of like folktronic medicine music. And I was just so in love with them. And then it was such an amazing thing and like a dream come true to be able to work with Luis. And he did a great job. So it was just like, you know, it's a very vulnerable and very like exercise of trust to be like, here's my song.
Yeah.
Now let's see what you can do with it, you know?
Yes. It's so scary.
Yeah, it's scary, but because I had so much admiration for him, I was like, sure. I was very like fangirl about it. Like, yeah, everything you do is good.
So he had a lot of trust.
I had a lot of trust, and I loved the outcome.
Another song that I love the outcome for is Realismo Mágico.
Oh, yes.
Which is such a good song. Another like super hella creative music video.
Yes.
And you know, I believe that play, like playfulness, mm-hmm. is one of the most important tools that we have in accessing the imagination that's necessary in our liberation work. Mm-hmm. And I love like opportunities to play, to be silly, to, you know, just, you know, being a mom of two kids, like it's just such a awesome invitation into that playfulness that I think we all need to be engaging with more regularly. And you really bring that playfulness into this song and music video. both in the sound of it, right? Like there's a playfulness in the sound that you're making, and then of course in this beautiful, colorful creature in the video. What does that creature, what does that concept represent for you?
Yeah, so I wanted to create this like magical creature that contagia, which for me in Spanish, it sounds better, contagia, because in English it's like infects, which has got all sorts of connotations. But it like gives people joy or the ability to feel deeper feelings and express like unabashedly. Mm-hmm. So I had this idea that I wanted this really colorful creature. And I really admire the work of costume designer and puppeteer Jimena Lloreda, who's an artist based in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So I hit her up and I was like, hey, I have this concept. Would you do the costume? And she was like, yes, I would love to. And then I found the director for the video, Ana Paula Teixeira, and she developed a story around this figure, also like an identity, because we gave it a name. It's called El Omi, which is a Yoruban word for water. So in the video, the Omi comes out from the water. In the beginning, there's like the grandma and the child, and the grandma gives the child a seashell, and the child puts the seashell to their ear, and they hear the sound of the ocean through the seashell, and that's when the child connects to the Omi spirit that's coming out from the water. And through the video, the child can see this magical creature and is trying to tell the mom, like, hey, mom, do you see this? This creature that's infecting people and making them dance and have fun. And then in the end, the mom's like, ooh, I'm infected too. It feels great. Yeah.
I love that idea of an infectious joy, an infectious playfulness, and an infectious uncovering to be free in our authenticity, which is what I see happening in the video. Why do you think this is an important message that you wanted to share through your music?
I think it's something that I'm also uncovering in myself. It's like how to not be so serious about things and like have fun, like fun and enjoying life. It's a big part of life.
Yes.
So I think it's like my lesson that I'm trying to embody in this moment, and uncovering authenticity, uncovering the natural movement, the natural appetites that are there. And like having space to shine authentically and unapologetically. Ooh, and
say that one again. Yes.
And like having fun and like having fun. And, you know, it's kind of like how we can also be like archetypes, no? Like the witches in the video. It's like the witches and the rain and all this, like how we can transform and be our brightest and enjoy. Like, why not? Why can't we enjoy? You know, it's kind of like that unlearning. Unlearning and giving into play and giving into the beauty of life. I feel like I've always been into beauty, and that really shines through my songs because I'm such a Libra.
Yeah.
But this playfulness and this humor and also like irreverence is coming out now more, for sure.
Are there any ways that you're engaging in play that you're really excited about right now?
Yeah, I love dancing. I love going to dance. Like, that's like my new thing. It's like, I like going to dance, seeing like live music, and I like going to perrear, and that's like it. And I love going to the redwoods here and, you know, being in like an enchanted forest and like talking to
frolicking
the trees.
Like a fairy.
And talking to the trees and, you know, all the good stuff. So, Beautiful. Lots of play, lots of dancing in the kitchen, lots of playing music, and yeah.
So you've already like offered so many pieces of wisdom. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that you could think of that you would want to share with the next generation of artists wanting to use their work towards healing, towards liberation?
I struggled in the beginning of songwriting, and even now, I feel like there's like such a Judge Judy in all of us, you know, kind of being like, no, not good enough, da da da, blah blah blah. Like, and if I were to say something, it's like to avoid all that suffering and kind of like hold your art with lots of compassion and let whatever wants to come out, come out. Kind of like focusing more on the process than on any goal, because it'll be better for your mental health, believe me.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. That said, is there anything next coming up that you want to share?
I'm releasing an album. I'm releasing like my first album. So Huracán was the first single, Realismo Mágico is the second single. I released a bunch of singles this spring, and then the album's coming out.
Oh my goodness.
Hopefully in May.
Oh, I'm so excited. For our listeners right now, Maria is wearing a Realismo Mágico sweatshirt. Is that available online?
It's available online at Threadless. I'm at Threadless shop. If you go to my Esoterica Tropical account in Instagram, there's a link tree that will connect you to the shop. And there's like tons of different designs
Heck
by
yeah.
my one of my collaborative artist partners that worked on the cover for Lejos de Ti, for Realismo Mágico, and for Huracán. So like there's like
Beautiful.
designs for Huracán, for Realismo Mágico, and yeah, they're pretty awesome. Check them out.
I will definitely check them out. And I encourage our listeners to check them out to support this incredible grassroots artist, creator, healer. Maria, thank you so much for being with me today. I have learned so much and am so grateful to you, to your work. I look forward to this next album. Keep creating, keep healing.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so great to connect finally, you know?
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to The Rhythm of Rebellion. I want to thank our guests today, as well as Moses Nagel, our editor, Sina Basila Hickey, and all of our partners at Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You can find me on Facebook at Taina Asili Music, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Taina Asili, and at tainaasili.com. Peace, love, and liberation.